coming close to the end of our editing challenge, and Bobby's the focus of this episode. Will his entry wow the judges, or will it crossfade into a wipe? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. We're in the fourth of our contestant entry episodes, and this time it's all about Bobby. As with Kristen earlier in the week, Bobby also received a bonus coaching session from renowned editor Eric Dow. We'll listen in on that coaching session as well as his session with Tom, and later on we'll hear his finished entry. But first, I got to sit down with him to talk about the challenge. Here with Bobby Frankenberger, a solo contestant right now. Teams are gone, man. How are you feeling about that?
Oh, wow. It's bittersweet because it's kind of like when we were down to two people, I think I was nervous about that when that first happened, me and Kristen being together down to two people. The other team had four, but I think you're right. I heard them talk about it. You guys talk about it in season one. Mm-hmm. And then again, this time there's a certain like swiftness or agility to having two people, you know? Yeah. And so the thing I'm excited about is that now I'm down to one, it's even more, but then there's no one to bounce ideas off of. There's, you know,
right. So, yeah. There's something to be said for being kind of a lean, mean, you know, podcasting machine basically, but,
right.
But not having that sounding board and being able to collaborate on ideas and stuff.
Right.
Well, you're going to get that today with Tom. So I think that's going to help a lot. Now, you've done editing for most of your team's projects so far, right? Yes. I know at least in Stick Figure Squad, you were probably the main editor. Is that right?
Yeah. And there was a little bit of shared in the first few weeks. Yeah. But for the most part, I've done most of the editing, the large part of the editing all along. Yeah.
So you feel pretty comfortable with this one, I'm sure.
Yeah, but that makes me nervous too, right? You can't get too comfortable. Everything makes me nervous, Brian.
Sure, of course. Yeah, no, I totally get it. Cool. Well, so you've listened to the audio and you've identified that, we put so many traps into that thing.
I was on I listened to it right away. I went on a run right after we recorded the judging and I loaded it up on my phone and listened to it while I was running because I wanted to start thinking about it right away. Mm-hmm. And as I'm running, I'm like, oh, this sounds like I wonder why they were doing this interview, where it came from and all that. And then like I started to hear all the little tricks and issues and I was like, there's no way that this was all in one interview on accident.
Right. Oh yeah, no, it's like you'd have to work hard to make all those mistakes or have all those issues.
Right.
Yeah, no, this has been one of the plans from the start is having an interview that basically represents everything that can possibly go wrong in an interview.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. This challenge and the last one actually, I have to say, I think that these two so far are my favorite in terms of how they've been designed to test a skill set, you know?
Right. Yeah, because developing a certain kind of podcast isn't necessarily a skill set. This is something, editing is something you can do across the board, whether it's an interview or not.
Right.
And doing a daily show is the same kind of thing. Turning around information really quickly. It doesn't have to be in a news commentary show. It can be in an interview show or a music show or whatever.
Right.
So good. Good. I'm glad you're recognizing that.
Yeah. It's cool. And I like it, but, I'm excited about it for sure. And, it's been a challenge to think about and it's definitely twisting my brain about how to deal with all the problems and present it. It's very meandering and
sure.
whatnot. So
yes,
challenge.
And there's also the bigger issue of how do you frame it within a larger podcast series? Do you, and I know you've probably been wondering, you know, what kinds of things can I do to this? Can I lay my own narration on top of it? Can I frame it? All that sort of thing. And of course you'll be talking with Tom about that, a lot of it, but have you figured out a plan for how you're doing that? Or are you going to run some things by Tom and see what he says?
I'm going to run my plan by Tom and see how he reacts to that. But right now my plan is Honestly, the podcast itself, I think I'm thinking it's going to be more of a generic kind of like geeky stuff podcast. Mm-hmm. And this just, you know, maybe we don't do interviews every time, but this just happens to be a time we got to talk with somebody about stuff.
Sure.
And I'm going to be narrating the way through it. I'm toying with the idea. I'm not even toying with it. I think I've decided that I'm going to take the interviewer out of the equation.
And basically just re-ask the same questions.
No, not exactly. Okay. I think I'm going to narrate my way through it. I'm not going to pretend that I'm asking questions. I'm just going to take their answers as part of a story and try to narrate the connective tissue, you know.
Sure. Oh, that's a great way to do it. And you know, not even necessarily as blatant as next we asked Jason and Ashley what they thought about and here's what they had to say.
Right.
But they also had some thoughts on and then basically have that. That's a really smart way to do it, especially if you want it to be in a consistent tone, a consistent voice to the rest of the show. Very good.
Right. Yeah, I know we have just a minute probably here, but I wanted to, if you'll entertain me for a minute, I wanted to not go this time talking to you without saying how, because she's so modest, but the time that I had with Kristen was just her and I was really amazing, and she should get lots of credit for being an incredible team member and teammate. Her and I were together from week one. So
that's right. You moved around when we had the team swap. You guys stayed together.
Right. And it exactly. And we knew this day was coming. but it kind of like broke our hearts a little bit, you know, like, oh, you know, this is kind of sad. But she should, if she's not gonna say it herself, and I don't know that you would ever recognize this in the way that the show is formatted, but I want people to know that Kristen was an amazing teammate. She was always willing to work and do what needed to be done. You know, other people did it too, but
sure.
But I'm feeling particularly nostalgic about Kristen. Aww. For the reason I just said. So, and she, you know, she didn't always agree and everything, but she was always like willing to give it a shot, willing to take risks, especially with me. I can come up with some, be pretty forceful about crazy ideas. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just wanted to make sure that she gets the appreciation, me giving her that appreciation out loud, that, that I would not be as far as like we came this far together. So
No, that's awesome. And you could definitely tell the chemistry between you guys in the last few weeks, you know, the stuff you guys did with the ways your brain is tricking you and the news episode. I think you guys did a great job with those, and you can definitely see a chemistry between the two of you playing off of each other. And that's great. Well, she will love hearing this. She might not hear it until it gets released as a podcast, but that's extremely nice of you to say, especially now that it comes down to every person for themselves.
Yeah. Well, that's the last nice thing I have to say.
There you go. Now the gloves are off from this point going forward.
Right.
Fantastic. Well, Bobby, good luck. I'll let you get ready for your time with Tom, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Let's see how things went when they met with the coach, Tom Merritt.
Congratulations on making it all the way to this point, man. This is great.
Yeah, thank you.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling uncomfortably confident right now.
Yeah, I know that feeling where you're like, I think everything's going well. What am I missing? Yeah. No, I think everything is going well. You're really killing it every week, to the point where the judges accused you of carrying a podcast, which I think is, you know, I think it's meant as a compliment. So that's good. How are you thinking of approaching this minefield of editing this week?
So my overall approach, I think, is going to be after I've listened to it several times and logged it all, and I think my first major decision was, I think I'm really just going to get rid of the interviewer, and I'm narrate my way through it, like, and do narration through it, because it's very meandering and it's not tied together very well. And I think I could do a better job of cutting it up more and tying
it up in bites kind of situation.
sort of, yeah, like there's a story being told, and mm-hmm. and when there's a transition from one thing to the next, or there needs to be a connective tissue between two parts that are difficult to get together, if I've got just a narrating thread through it all, it'll be easier to connect things.
Do you have an idea of what that narrating thread is going to be?
I think the story I'm going to tell is, from my perspective, there's only one main story to tell, and I think it's sort of almost like a profile of these two collaborators, and sort of start by talking about how they met, how they first started collaborating. The meat of it seems to be talking about, and when I say meat, I mean the most direct, interesting chunk is mm-hmm. talking about them doing the Red Shirt Diaries together, and then right. they have some really fun talk at the end about collaborating in general and fun ideas of like reboots and stuff they'd like to do, and they have some interesting conversations about that process of thinking about it.
So kind of a story of two collaborators.
Yes.
Exactly. Wait, that sounds like Vichy French stuff, but yeah, you get what I'm saying.
Right.
So the next question is, what's your hook? What makes me want to listen to that story?
That's the main thing that I'm having trouble mm-hmm. with, and I don't know that I'm going to find... I'm having trouble finding that in the interview itself. Because mm-hmm. The only thing I can really seem to think of right now is this is a podcast where we get we just talk about geeky things. Like every other more specific focused angle I come up with feels really like forced or hokey or just uninteresting. Like we talk to collaborators and like that's okay.
Collaborationists.
Yeah.
From World War II to now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it does have that weird... Collaborators works really well in a very specific sense, and then if you start to pull it outside of that, it does lose its appeal. Well, I mean, I think you could, and I'm sure you've thought through these, but just to throw some ideas up in the air here, I think you could do something like the creative process or, you know, teammates. Every week we talk to people who work together, you know, and think of it as like, you know, you were talking about people who do macrame last week, and next week you're talking about people who sail ships, and this week it's a video creator. I mean, you can tailor a very broad concept to give focus, and I think you've got something in what you were telling me, the story you want to tell about how does a team work. Right? How do these two come together and mesh their ideas? And there seems to be a concept in there that you could put a name on.
Yeah, yeah. The struggle I have with that, and maybe I should just get over it because it's not something I would listen to doesn't mean anything. But the struggle I have is like, who would listen to that?
It's a little bit self-helpy, which means yeah. there are lots of people who would listen to it. But it is a fair concern to say I'm not that excited about it, because that can come through in your delivery, you know. So yeah. you want to have it be something that you're excited about. Is there anything about these two and this interview that made you perk up and say I'm excited?
I really think just their excitement about like they're broad.
Wait, hold on. We have a spy. Is Kristen supposed to be in here? Okay,
good. Good looking out,
yeah.
Tom.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Their general sort of excitement about I really think it's really interesting their excitement and their collaboration in the breadth of geeky stuff that they do. So, you know, like comic book writing and Star Trek and cartoons and writing for rebooting, those types of things. Like that interested me to hear them talk about that.
Well, what if you tailor it as you know, geek dreams come true kind of situation, right? Where it's like keep people. So to your original idea about geek stuff, like people who have passionate geekdom and how they express it.
That's maybe an angle getting closer to something that,
yeah. So something that you actually care about and is pretty easy to explain, like, well, you know, what makes a geek tick?
Right.
Don't call it geek tick though.
yeah, I think that points me closer in a direction. I'm going to look at my questions here to make sure I'm covering everything. So you don't see a problem with removing the interviewer then?
No, I don't think so at all. I think that's a great idea. It wouldn't be a problem to include him either and just say our correspondent, sure. You know, et cetera. But it's going to cut down on the problems, right? You've got enough problems to deal with this challenge. If you want to pull out all the things that you want to pull out. So I think it's fine to say, okay, we sent him to get the interview. That is a perfectly normal situation. A production assistant or an associate right. producer will go and get the interview, and then it's used as bites within something. I think it will be fine. And it's a good way to kind of solve a lot of the problems.
Right. Okay. I'm feeling good about the story in general, like the way it's flowing. It's just... I think that really has been the struggle with me is what does this podcast look like? Like what is the larger?
Yeah. And that might be a good way to do it is just edit out the story with all your narration, leave off the very introduction until you're done and then play it back and say, okay, what is this? What did this end up being? That if you really get right. stuck, that's another way to kind of come up with the introduction and just do it in reverse.
That's actually a pretty good idea. At least that gets the ball rolling and gets me turning it around in my head.
Yeah. And you could focus on what makes that story good without having to try to fit it into some kind of halfway appropriate concept. It just seems more elegant to like make it the best story you can possible and then decide what kind of story that is.
Right. Well, that's good. That's I think you answered all my questions. We have a couple minutes left. What'd you think of our submission last week? We basically did your show.
Yeah, I loved it. It was great. I was very curious what you were going to do with the phone, and I thought you handled it pretty well. I was impressed. My reaction was a little bit similar to Jury's, which is. If I were to really be producing that show with you, I probably would have picked on a few ways that you maybe phrased something here and there.
I thought that was great feedback. Yeah.
Yeah. But overall, especially with the African story, which there was a couple of things that actually the way you first set it up, I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't the first. And then I went back and I listened closely. I'm like, no, okay. That is technically accurate. It is the first of this kind in that country, right. In Tanzania. It was tricky. It's tricky on purpose.
Yeah, and I actually did think after it was turned in, the one thing I wish I could have gone back and had time to do was maybe framed our discussion a little bit differently because it made it sound like we were completely clueless about other parts of the world, you know, like,
right. Yes. So. No, I'm glad you recognize that because, and that is a very common, error that people make on shows, including my own sometimes sure. where we just kind of say, well, wait, and I try to get this across to all of us and get it in our heads. Like think that a person from Tanzania is listening to this as well. Yeah, yeah. How would they want to hear it presented? And that actually, I think makes it better for everybody.
Well, hello, Eric. Nice to meet you.
Bobby, nice to meet you. Congratulations on winning.
Thank you very much. I suppose I will jump right into my questions to best utilize our time here. So I've listened to the interview audio, a little over half an hour of stuff, and I've logged it all kind of and kind of got laid out what some of the big chunks are and sort of started laying out what I see as like almost a profile of the two of these people that are being interviewed.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for a story that can be told, and the whole thing is sort of meandering and it's been difficult, right?
Sure.
So that's where I am right now is I'm really looking for how to do that. So I guess one of my first questions to get us started here is how do you think about and approach planning out like a story to tell with just a bunch of crap that you've got?
Find a through line, find something that you know, look, I told the last person, it sounds like you guys are going to have to put lipstick on a pig. It's still going to be a pig, but you can make it a little prettier. So find these chunks and these through lines and chop out all the uhs and ums and pregnant pauses, and do so making sure that it flows and it sounds good, not too choppy, but, you know, get it tight. Find a beginning, a middle, and an end. And, you know, you've been asked to basically be the hero here. So you're coming in for a client who's got bad footage or bad audio, and you have to do the best you can to fix it and make them happy.
Right.
Despite what you've been given. So it's a challenge, obviously.
Right. So when it is meandering like that, and you, like, let's say I have the pieces of a story, but they're in a bunch of different locations, a bunch of different sections. I'm going to have to chop it up, obviously, and put it together.
Yeah.
Do you know any tricks, or do you have any ideas for tricks about how to tie them together?
Yeah. So you want to take everything that you think could work for the beginning and just plop it all together in the timeline, and then put some black in between and do the middle. Put everything that you think could be useful for the middle or a transitional piece in the middle, and then do the same for the end. And then you're going to go through and listen to each chunk, however long it is, a few minutes, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have transcripts, then you like, okay, I can put this chunk here. And then, all right, then this would kind of flow after that. And then you can Frankenbite. Your name is Frankenberger. Have you ever heard the term Frankenbite?
Actually, I haven't, no.
Okay, so Frankenbiting is taking, you can literally make sentences and make people say things they didn't really say by, it's like rewriting what they said using their voice. So you can take the end of a sentence and put it at the end of a different thought altogether. You can use words to help transition things using, you know, two frame dissolves to, you know, help the audio sound as natural as possible.
Right.
And you can, you know, basically be a magician and make the audience think that this person said something that they didn't really say. Or you can even take an absolutely crucial word out. Like there was a show called The Newsroom. I don't know if you've seen it, where they're doing this big story in the newsroom, and this producer cut out a word that this general said. He said, if we use sarin gas, and he cut out the if. Right. We used sarin gas. So it sounded like he just admitted the U.S. committed a war crime. So these are the kind of things you can do to make something more compelling if you need to, and so on and so forth.
Right. Okay. So if I get an introduction to them and everything, do you suggest you go right? Like, let's say I want the thing to be about a particular thing. Let's just call it X. Like the meat of it is going to be, it's about X. Should I get to that right away? Where can anecdotes fit in? Stuff like that.
You know, I always like to build up to X by, you know, maybe cutting a really cool intro to the piece that gives you an overview of kind of like a cold open of what you're in for. And then you get to know the players a little bit about themselves and who you're dealing with. And then say, I first heard about X. And you kind of build up to that, because if you don't know who any of these people are, nobody's going to care.
Right.
So you have to get people to kind of care first. You don't want to lead with the juice. You want to build to it, but not.
But where it's, you want to maybe off. Either find or manufacture a hook of some kind.
Yeah. Be creative.
Right.
Think outside of the box.
That's good. I'm probably going to end up having to do a good bit of research on the background of everything that they're talking about to do that.
And they didn't say that you couldn't record voiceover, right? Like,
right.
Or narration. So you can fill in the holes by doing that too.
Yeah. I'm thinking a lot about doing that and I'm thinking about taking an approach that is like, I'm telling the story and where they're not saying, and I can't get what they're saying, using their voices to say the things that I need to say, then I'm just going to say it. You know what I mean? And finding a way to do that.
Yep.
It's just finding that story. That's good. So when you're doing something like this, what are the, here's a good question. I think, what are the mistakes that I should try to avoid?
Don't overthink and keep it simple. Keep it simple, stupid. Kiss. Remember that. Just keep it simple. You know, it sounds like you've been given shit, so don't try and make memento with it, right? Just try to be as straightforward as possible and telling the, you know, the best, most compelling version you can, without it being too complicated, because you don't want to lose people. Because if you lose people, you're going to lose.
Right. Right. That's a good point. Yeah, it's a tough piece of stuff that we have. But I mean, I guess that's the whole point, right? So, we went right to it and you answered all the good questions I have. I'm trying to think of any more so I can use you for the 2.5 minutes I have. we talked about narration and,
remember, and make sure it's well paced. That's the other thing. You need something that's going to be well paced throughout.
So how do I know if it's well paced?
It's more of a gut thing. Like if it's too choppy or it's too, everything that you've cut out is too butted up against each other and it kind of just sounds really choppy like this.
Right.
You don't want that. So you need to smooth that out. You need to put some air in there, some frames where there's just gnat sound or you know, where nobody's talking, that you can build out moments.
Do you find music is really useful or do you?
Music is huge. It just depends on, you know, if you're allowed to use it, what you can use. Yeah. And you want the music to help drive the emotion sometimes. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes you want to let it play dry because you don't want to be too manipulative.
Right. Right. Yeah, music has always been kind of a tough thing that I've played with throughout the competition. Sometimes I get, you know, like, good job with the music, and sometimes I get dinged for it because I'm using it too much or in the wrong place. So that is a tricky one.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel good. You've already given me some good stuff. Let's see.
You got about a minute, I think.
Yeah. So we talked about anecdotes, right? Yeah, anecdotes. So if I had, let's say I'm doing it and I have extra time and it's not all the way to the 15 minutes, but, and I have extra stuff I haven't put in yet that's entertaining. How do I make the decision? Does this belong or not?
That's just it. Does it belong? I mean, sometimes you have to kill your babies. Sometimes you have to kill great material because it doesn't really fit.
It's just not fitting the narrative I'm trying to
tell. It doesn't fit the narrative in it. And then you go off on a tangent about something and then you have to redirect and I'm like, why did I just hear that? I mean, it was cute, but how did that fit? Why?
Right, right.
So keep it simple. And if you have to lose great stuff, you know, because it doesn't fit, then it doesn't fit.
Right. I guess that sets apart like the good from the greater, I guess you could say. Right. Well, I think that's it. I think I'm good.
Yeah, man.
It feels weird to not be told, you got to stop.
You're listening to Making Your Mark, a show where we creators and makers and artists of all kinds get to talk about how to make our marks in the world. I'm your host, Bobby Frankenberger. Listeners to this show know that I'm a geek. I like geeky things. I like talking about geeky things. But in truth, I think you listening are all geeks too. I mean, how much more geeky can you be to be so passionate about something that you've turned yourself into a creator trying so hard to share your passion with the world? And it doesn't matter what your passion is. Maybe you love comic books.
How many times has Wolverine died? And the answer is the only one that matters is the time Charles Soule did it. It was great.
Maybe you love Star Trek.
Although I'm glad we got the other seasons of Picard. I don't know. We might have been missing something with that Captain Riker show.
Or maybe you love cartoons.
Mike Judge can hire us at any time.
Those voices you hear are Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Yes!
And Jason Inman.
I am.
And as far as geeky things go, they've got it covered.
He was like evil. He was dark Wolverine, I think, for a while.
The worst of all Wolverines.
Nobody likes him.
And they are sharing it with the world. Together, they've written comic books like Jupiter Jet and the upcoming book about a teenage genius titled Science. They collaborate on a podcast called Geek History Lesson. They even work together to produce a Star Trek fan series on YouTube called The Red Shirt Diaries. The point is, they've got geek cred.
So X1 is like the year that Charles Xavier founds the X-Men, the very first time. And then X10, which is 10 years after the fact. But then they also show you X100 and X1000.
And they've got a lot of passion to go along with it. They've made their mark as a collaborative pair, and we wanted to talk to them about that. About collaboration, about taking those steps to turn your passion into something, to make your mark in the world, and the sort of steps you take together to do it. And since we've already mentioned comic books, what geek doesn't love a good origin story?
So my very first job in the United States and in Los Angeles, I worked at a comic book store that does not exist anymore called Blast Off in North Hollywood. And that is where I first met Jason Inman. And when you work in a comic book store, you can kind of profile people based on the types of books that they buy. Men of a certain age tend to buy certain comics. Women of a certain age tend to buy certain comics, you know, kids, so on and so forth. Jason made some really interesting comic book choices. He was buying a New 52 Wonder Woman, Blue Beetle, and Young Avengers.
Mm-hmm. There was a sale and I was completing my runs.
I said, hey, that guy's probably smart and interesting.
And so the power duo was formed, but it wouldn't be until later when they started collaborating.
I had an idea for a web series, and I posited it to Jason, and he said, great. And Jason was already working in YouTube and had a channel and had a great following there.
And so, like many great collaborations, it was born from a need, a necessity to find someone to bridge that gap between concept and reality.
Jason came full of expertise, and his only requirement was that I, you know, wrote scripts or did a certain amount of work in order to balance out the amount of work that he was doing on the series that became The Red Shirt Diaries.
The Red Shirt Diaries was produced as a comedy fan series that followed the life of a lowly red-shirted Ensign Williams as she lived her life aboard the Starship Enterprise, as it was on Star Trek The Original Series. It was sort of part watch-along, part fan film, part review series.
The idea came about because I wanted to watch all the episodes in order and do a review, and then Jason said, oh, we should, you know, make it narrative.
And these are your quarters.
They're so big.
See if you think that in 5 years.
The balance of working in someone else's world, because Red Shirt Diaries is much more comedic than a classic Trek episode, was really trying to pull out the hilarious nuggets because, you know, TOS was made in the 60s, so there are things that to a modern audience seem really, really hilarious. Although sometimes I think the male crew members have it worse because they're not allowed to wear shirts at all. Captain's orders.
We had to be very careful about not just copying the storylines of the regular episode, and that's why we came up with this character, Ensign Williams.
Hi, I'm Ensign Williams, a security officer aboard the Starship Enterprise.
Who is like the lowest ranked character on the original Enterprise, and that she would experience all these episodes from a different perspective. And, you know, that would allow us to do some gold and have parallel narratives and stuff like that. We actually think that they're perfect, like little Easter egg things. And the fact that, you know, you should watch the original series episode and then watch our episode, because that's how you'll get all the names, all the tech is actually from that episode.
It's true, though. The mission was insane. Miri fell in love with the captain, and Yeoman Randy got jealous and went on and on about her legs, and they danced around the subject for hours.
And we had a great time making it. We had some really great actors.
And so they did their work and they went on and they created this great thing. And as many people know who are part of a great partnership, there can sometimes exist a resonance when creative energies are combined, a sort of harmony that excites you and fuels you in a way that you just can't get separately.
A lot of times our conversations will turn into just pitch fests. Like, we'll do a lot of alternate takes on like television shows we're watching of like, oh, like what if Captain Kirk was in charge of the Enterprise D and all those kinds of places. So it just made it to where collaborating on our own stuff became kind of the same kind of mode.
We're two people who have similar tastes who are often in the same spot. So I think it was an inevitability.
Yeah, I think the similar taste is a great way to put it. I think we do vary in certain parts. Like, I'm not a huge fan of RuPaul's Drag Race. Please don't stone me, internet. but we have a lot of similar tastes in terms of like dramatic arcs and stuff like that.
And so you take advantage of that resonance. You get together, you talk, you laugh, you have fun, all the while you're building a repertoire, a portfolio of ideas, most of which may never even come to pass.
We have an amazing reboot for King of the Hill. Mike Judge can hire us at any time. And we came up with that, where we come up with most of our best work sitting in a diner. I was eating breakfast food because it's the only thing I ever eat in a diner. I don't want to completely give it away, because there is a teeny tiny chance that at some point we'll be able to do it.
Or take pieces of this.
But I will say it does move the characters forward in real time, and it becomes more of a Bobby-centric narrative.
Let's just say that Hank gets into a situation where he's close to retirement, and he finds that he needs adult Bobby's help. And it's, does he ask Bobby for the help, or does he not? Or does he do the Hank Hill thing and not ask Bobby?
But if Mike Judge is listening, you know, we're LA local. We would love a chance to swing at that fence.
The other one we came up with was in Star Trek The Next Generation, at the end of the third season, they Borgify Captain Picard. And they did that because they wanted to create the greatest cliffhanger in television history. It is. Look it up. But also they did that because Captain Picard, Patrick Stewart, was only signed for the first three seasons. And there was a brief moment where the other four seasons of TNG would have been the Captain Riker show. And Ashley and I have loosely planned out the other four seasons of the Captain Riker show. And I'm going to say this. It would have been a fun show. It would have been a really interesting show and made TNG really different. Although I'm glad we got the other seasons of Picard. I don't know. We might have been missing something with that Captain Riker show.
One of the incredible values of having a great working and creative partnership, a collaboration of this kind, is in those conversations that you can have. Creative work alone, with no one to get feedback from, no one to bounce ideas off of, it can be lonely. And sometimes the best ideas are born out of the crazy what-if discussions you get to have over a breakfast at a diner.
This is a discussion Jason and I like to have, where what if we could buy franchises, or something we would like to reboot. I think Xena is prime.
Whoa, good choice.
For a really, really incredible reboot. If the people who hold the Xena copyright want to call me, I have no money, but I'd love to try. And I think Lucy Lawless looks better than ever. And as an incredible actress, and I think you could do some really cool stuff and include her in the show. And I think, you know, in the current world that we're in, we could do some real LGBTQIA+ storytelling that, you know, they just weren't able to do in the original. And, you know, Jason, I heard as I was coming in, was talking about Star Trek. And, you know, if Star Trek can say math is fucking cool, then maybe Xena can say that, like, I don't know, fighting is fucking cool. Like,
dresses are fucking cool.
Yeah, there you go. There's some real room for some fun stuff. And, you know, just recast all of the Amazons from the Wonder Woman movie. And we'll be in great shape.
What I think, one franchise I think could really do some real grittiness is actually Star Trek. Star Trek is generally a series that stays away from that type of stuff, you know, because they're supposed to be evolved and away from that stuff. But I think that there is, like, just like Star Wars. Star Wars is, I kind of hope, is doing this with The Mandalorian, the series that nobody has seen yet. And I hope that's dark and gritty. And I hope Star Trek is like that too, because, you know, I mean, sometimes you're watching Star Trek and there's an episode and you just want the Starfleet officers to shoot somebody in the face.
And much of our best work is done in collaboration with other people. That's not really a surprise, though, is it? The cliche is to say that we're social creatures, right? And, well, it's true. It's a cliche for a reason. We are social creatures. And in a world where we are trying to make our mark, we need each other. We make each other better. We prop each other up. In that way, a good collaboration, a good partnership, can bring out our best, most exciting creative ideas that are inside of us, and then purify them in the fire and crucible of that partnership. So, regardless of where you are in that creative process today, whether you're just starting out, whether you haven't even started, whether you're all the way through it, I want to challenge you
to find that person in your life who is making you better. It doesn't have to be a working partner. It can just be a friend or a spouse or a relative. There are good collaborations everywhere in every part of our lives. Just find them. Make sure to say thank you. Speaking of thank yous, I want to thank Ashley Victoria Robinson and Jason Inman. You can find them, well, why don't I just let them tell you themselves?
You can find me all over the internet at Ashley V. Robinson. The V is very important because Ashley Robinson is a WNBA player. I do not want to fight for SEO. You can also find our podcast, Geek History Lesson, at geekhistorylesson.com. We have 277 episodes out so far. So if you want to learn character histories, we have got your back. Jason, where can they find you?
I mean, you can find me all over the internet at Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. It stands for Jason William Inman. It's the first two letters of all three of my names. And that's Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, everywhere. And I have a book on Amazon called Super Soldiers, and you can go pick that up right now.
Oh, and if you like comics, please pre-order our comic book, Science, Elements of Dark Energy. It will be in shops in December.
Excelsior!
Again, thank you, Ashley and Jason. I also want to give a special thank you to Joe Hood, who handled the interview today. Thank you very much. And come back next week when we get to talk to prop maker Bill Duran about taking that first scary leap of turning your passion into a career. Until next week, I'm Bobby Frankenberger. Let's make something today.
That was Making Your Mark, the edited interview from Bobby. Our next episode is the judging and elimination episode, where one player will win for the week and another one will find their time in the competition left on the cutting room floor. It's all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.